produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today, San Diego, ground zero in Fed's war on medical marijuana. San Diego County, California, continues to be the front line of the federal government's war on medical marijuana patients and facilities. Three counties have now joined in a lawsuit seeking to overturn Proposition 215, the provision that has allowed compassionate medical access to thousands of patients for a decade. Last week, federal law enforcement raids were conducted across San Diego County, which saw its most frequented facilities shut down. On Thursday, local and federal law enforcement officers went to a storefront facility on Rancho Santa Fe Road and seized all of the marijuana and products containing THC, according to a report in the San Diego Union-Tribune. In Thursday's raid, dozens of candy bars and cartons of ice cream containing THC were confiscated, bags of packaged marijuana and larger bags used to refill the smaller ones were also taken. 15 people were arrested in the countywide raids. One facility that survived a local city vote to ban new dispensaries is now being targeted by local officials for closure. The city contends the storefront, run by Legal Ease, Inc. of San Diego, is a threat to the community's health, safety, and welfare, violating the provisions the city imposed in February when it was allowed to remain open. City Manager Rick Giddings said, according to the San Diego Union-Tribune. Recently, Legal Ease asked the city to transfer its business license to a new location on Grand Avenue. The city rejected the request in a letter sent to Legal Ease last month. The letter said that another business near the dispensary's current location was burglarized because it was mistaken for the dispensary. The letter also said Legal Ease had failed at least once to submit security tapes of its premises and has failed to reveal what was stolen in the burglaries. Though the letter didn't say that the city wanted to close the business, that conclusion is, quote, painfully obvious, close quote, City Manager Giddings said to the San Diego Union-Tribune. In 2003, San Diego became the largest city in the nation to adopt guidelines for sick and dying patients who grow and use the drug, acts that were made legal when California voters passed Proposition 215 in 1996. But the County Board of Supervisors sued the state earlier this year to try and overturn the law. Even though all polling data indicated a large majority of the county's voters supported the medical marijuana initiative, public officials in San Bernardino and Merced counties have joined the suit, which is pending in state court. More information is available on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. We've gathered up some more fresh green audio for you today. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Visit norml.org. Tuesdays here on the Audio Stash, we focus on medical and patient issues. Let's get into our first segment today, an important interview from the front lines of the fight in California. Rudy Reyes is a medical marijuana patient and activist in San Diego, California. With burns over most of his body, Rudy has become the voice for patients in a conservative county battling against the free access to medical pot. Last week, federal authorities, the FBI and DEA, rated 3 of San Diego's medical marijuana facilities that were operating under California state law. Rudy's own facility was raided. And this is the front line of the fight in California, folks. San Diego County seeks to overturn Proposition 215 overall. This will all have an instant negative impact on suffering patients who will be left searching for their medicine. Rudy joins us by phone today from San Diego to talk about those raids. Rudy, welcome back here to the program.
Thank you.
Rudy, tell us about what happened, last week.
If you remember, on the 12th of December, they did those big raids that started all up, right? On, last week, they ended up dropping the 5 indictments that they came from that investigation, which involved about 5 or 6 dispensary owners. And they got indicted for various reasons a bunch of them were well-known, you know, selling over the amount they needed to, selling just anybody who goes into the shop, that kind of deal. And most of us patients knew about these shady shops and stood away from them. So we knew kind of what was going down. And the other 13 warrants were just, let's make it look bad. So they took the other dispensaries and, with the owners of each of them, put a little small, what was it, intent to sell of over an ounce, and intent to distribute. So that's what they did, and that being a state case, those are going to be dropped, considering, you know, their dispensary, you know, over an ounce is nothing to them. So that's where that ended up.
And as a patient there in San Diego County, how has this impacted you directly?
They made it hard for me to get my medication. They made it hard for me to just be out there in public. They're trying to make us all look bad and make it hard for us to get our stuff. That's exactly what they're doing.
So the facility you usually use, that was one of the ones that was raided.
Of course, you know, being a native son, they're one of the biggest ones in the area, so they're trying to make an example out of them. It's not that they shut them down. They're not one of the ones that got federally indicted or anything, but they went in and made sure that they took their business permits. So now that place can't open until they get copies of their business permits again.
Wow. Now these businesses are operating under state law, so where is all this coming from?
It's all DEA. It's the local officials allowing the higher DEA to run wild. It's only happening in San Diego. And the reason it's only happening in San Diego is because San Diego is the most conservative part of the state. They know that the local officials are against Prop 215, so the local officials are just letting the DEA run wild or do whatever they want. Not happening like this in L.A., not happening anywhere else. I think they're trying to get the ball rolling in the other end. They're trying to find Prop 215 unconstitutional here in San Diego. If they do that regarding these lawsuits, we're going to all have a big problem, because that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to pull the proverbial rug out from under us.
And when a facility like Native Sun gets shut down out there, how many patients are affected?
It's at the thousands. It's right there. That place was acting most of San Diego. And when they do that, they're just hurting people. People are sitting there right now going, where do I get my medication? What do I do? I have no medication, and I'm hurting right now. We're getting calls from patients left and right that are just in pain.
Rudy, before last week, what was the atmosphere inside the facility there at Native Sun?
Oh, the nice thing is it was a community, or it is a community. You know, the people I see there, I get to know, trust, love, care for, because you get to be a little clandestine group. You're one of the few people that get to do this, and the people, you know, everybody's kind of out to get you, so you become a little group of friends and this and that. So after a minute or two, you know the people, you know who they are, you've made friends with these people. Sure, you got a lot of the young folks a lot of people that don't look like they need to be there. But I get pissy at that because I'm a burn survivor. I have this look which took a lot of pain, and they stereotype me for that. In other words, I don't get charged because I look like this, where a lot of people don't have this look, and they get charged.
So what's the next step here? You mentioned fielding calls from patients. You know, where do patients go now, up north or other facilities?
Exactly. There's what we'll call Freedom Fighters in San Diego, other shops that didn't get raided because they weren't big enough, they weren't money-making enough, they weren't whatever you want to call that. You get what I'm saying? They're still open and they're still serving patients here, which is great. You have places like Native Sun that we're trying to open as soon as we can because we were actually open the next day until the FBI came and shut us down again. And the big reason was because we weren't selling anything. We were just trying to be there for the patients. We were just trying to be there for information and stuff like that. But they came and made sure we weren't open that next day.
Okay, Rudy, what happens when these FBI and DEA agents arrive? How do they treat the dispensary owners and the patients that they encounter in these raids?
Oh, wow. Okay, well, it's an automatic paramilitary operation. They come in clothed, fully armed. I mean, a few days ago after the raids, I'm cleaning up after the fact because I wasn't actually there or involved, so I go in and clean up after the fact. And we find two full clips, 10 rounds apiece, armor-piercing rounds, FBI rounds. We get Channel 6 to record it, end up calling FBI and having come get their rounds back, right? And they're just pompous about it when they do it. But from what I hear of people who are inside, they shit a you-know-what when they heard I had news on that and that I recorded it. And like I said, they come in paramilitary, and then from there, they get so excited at what they find, they end up leaving their own freaking rounds and stupid things like that around.
Now that is over the top. Another example of the DEA making society a little more dangerous in the name of safety, I guess. They're coming in now with bulletproof vest guns. They're coming in like this is Baghdad, and then they see all this gorgeous bud. You know, how is the marijuana displayed there at Native Son?
It was in jars. We'd have about 8 to 10 various types of jars out under a counter. You know what I'm saying? From there, it was a little bit of concentrate, a little bit of this and that. But when they came in, they loved it. It was so funny, too, because they came in and took all the jars. But in front of the jars were these little hash cards, which are cards with hash inside of them. They left them. They didn't even look at those. They left the hash cards right there under the counter where the glass is. Where the bud was.
This is all just amazing, Rudy. Leaving the hash and the clips of ammo on the counter. You said they came back as well after the initial raids. You know, did they come back guns drawn the second time too?
They came back the next day intending to be looking for the owner of the shop and everybody to be not there. When they came back, or when one officer came back and he saw we were allowing patients in and saw we were happy and enjoying music and things were good, he twisted his own freaking arm. He got pissed. Next thing you know, he's threatening, I'm going to arrest you next time I see you, everybody at the front counter, this and that, just throwing the heat and the pressure on. And we just decided to leave for the day.
Well, this is a new week out there, Rudy. What's going to happen for Native Son, and what's going to happen for the medical marijuana patients there in San Diego?
So far as I know, one of the owners doesn't know what he's going to do because the FBI is telling him they want to see him. They want him. And he looks on the warrant sheets to see if he's wanted, and he's not wanted. So he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know to turn himself in or to stay away. So he's looking for a lawyer right now, trying to deal with that. It's kind of weird to be in that position where you're supposedly wanted by the FBI, but yet there's no warrants for your name. So he's going to stay away from the shop today. Regarding those of us that are volunteers that want to keep that place going, we have to go get that business license. Before we can do anything with anybody, we have to have that business license in shop. So I guess my job for the day is to try to find copies of those business licenses because they made sure those disappeared.
Well, Rudy, our thoughts and support are with you out there in San Diego. Thanks for joining us here on the program today.
Anybody who can support, please send it. We need it right now.
Rudy Reyes is a medical marijuana patient and activist in San Diego, California. You can help San Diego medical marijuana patients. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. Supporting Normal helps patients across the country gain access to marijuana as medicine and helps the 11 states who've legalized medical use keep it legal. Now it's time here on the Audio Stash for some music from the Hempilation album. We'll hear Raging Slab with this tune, Pothead Pixies.
Beware, beware, beware.
that was Raging Slab with the tune Pothead Pixies from the High Times Normal Hempilation album here on the Audio Stash. Now today, it's time to take a look at some of the most surprising cannabinoid research to date. We'll speak with Paul Armentano about how cannabinoids could help cure breast cancer. Today is Normal's Senior Policy Analyst Paul Armentano to help us take a further look into some very surprising medical research. Welcome back here to the Audio Stash, Paul.
Glad you could have me, Chris.
Last week there was a weekly press release story hinting that breast cancer could be stopped by using cannabinoids, and this is big news in the cancer research community. Tell us about what's going on here.
Well, there has been ongoing clinical investigations by a research team in Spain and also a research team in Italy now for some time, and they have been looking at whether compounds in marijuana can hold dramatic anti-cancer properties, particularly in the treatment of certain types of cancerous tumors, breast cancer being one of these. And what investigators reported in the current issue of the journal Cancer Research was that if Delta-9 THC was administered to certain types of breast cancer cell lines, what the cannabinoids did was they stopped the proliferation of those cancerous cells from spreading, and they also triggered a process whereby the cells actually turned on itself and killed itself, a form of cell suicide. And this is actually the latest in a long line of preclinical findings demonstrating this result, that in fact compounds in marijuana appear to have, in certain cases, potent anti-cancer properties, at least in animals and in a petri dish in certain cells.
Again, all this is happening in a lab, in a petri dish.
They also do have animal models as well. There are certain studies that are done where animals have these certain types of tumors, and then the animals are injected with the cannabinoids, and they measure whether the tumors have they shrank or have they proliferated.
Paul, if I'm reading this report right, they seem to indicate that these cannabinoids not only kill off the cancer cells, but somehow protect the good cells around them. How is that happening?
That's actually one of the more intriguing findings, and certainly one of the most promising findings, is what they have noticed is that the cannabinoids seem to selectively target the malignant cells while leaving the healthy cells alone. Now, anybody, of course, who's had any familiarity with cancer chemotherapy, whether they've gone through it or a loved one has gone through it, they realize that one of the reasons, or the primary reason, that individuals undergoing the chemotherapy get so ill is because current treatments for cancer do not have the selectivity to leave the healthy cells alone and only target the malignant cells. Current therapies target all the cells and try and kill them off, and that's why individuals get so sick. So to have an agent that potentially can selectively target the bad cells while leaving the healthy cells alone would certainly be a dramatic breakthrough.
This seems like a huge breakthrough in cancer treatment. I mean, I looked out there in my own limited way on the internet and couldn't find anything else that selectively targets cancer cells and kills them.
No, it certainly is a very intriguing finding. What is also interesting is that we're not just talking about one particular cannabinoid here. The most recent study, this one that we talked about last week, they looked at Delta-9 THC and its impact on breast cancer. But there was actually a study that was published just about 1 or 2 months ago by a separate research team out of Italy. They looked at not just THC, THC and its impact on certain types of cancer, including breast cancer cell lines, but they looked at cannabidiol and they looked at CBG along with other cannabinoids, and they found in their studies, for instance, cannabidiol to have even a more potent anti-cancer effect in breast cancer cell lines than even THC. They also found that CBG had anti-cancer properties. So we're talking about multiple cannabinoids that seem to have potential for the treatment of certain types of cancers. And, you know, aside from breast cancer in particular, there is quite a bit of consistent preclinical research looking at cannabinoids in the treatment of brain cancer and also prostate cancer. So we're talking about very widespread forms of cancer and forms of cancer that generally go are untreatable.
So these reports, they're coming out of Spain, out of Italy, but, you know, where's the U.S. in all this? Where's our own research into cannabinoids?
Well, it's really disappointing to think that politics are coercing science to take a back seat in this realm when it comes to the U.S., but certainly that seems to be the case. I was pleased that Cancer Research, which is an American cancer journal, did publish two reports in its most current issue, this report on THC and breast cancer. They also have a report in the same issue on the use of cannabinoids in the treatment of pancreatic cancer. There again, that is a type of cancer that often when it goes diagnosed, it's a little more than a death sentence for the person who's given the diagnosis. There's really nothing that we have to treat that form of cancer in any sort of way. But we have here this journal talking about both of these studies, and hopefully that could begin, at least in the United States, some sort of recognition from some of these larger cancer organizations that cannabinoids do offer at least a potential in the treatment of various forms of cancers. The U.S. is really behind the learning curve when it comes to this subject. The irony, of course, is the first study that I can think of showing the use of cannabinoids as anti-cancer agents in animals goes back to the mid-1970s and actually took place where I live now in Virginia. Yet, from that point forward, you see very little research in this realm in America, and virtually all of it has taken place overseas.
Paul, we do see these big organizations for breast cancer, very high profile with celebrities, concerts, yogurt caps. But when do you think we're going to start to hear from the American patients looking for more domestic research into what is possibly a very shockingly effective therapy?
I hear from patients every day, particularly individuals who have family members or loved ones undergoing cancer, who read about the research and then ask questions about. They want to know if they can get in a clinical trial. They want to know what other research has been published on this subject. And I have the misfortune oftentimes of having to tell them that, in fact, there are no clinical trials taking place in this realm in the United States, and that most of the literature that we're citing is preclinical and is taking place overseas. Clearly, there is a section of the American population that is desperate for this sort of research to take place, and with good reason. They are suffering from serious illnesses of which there is very little mainstream treatment, and they recognize that cannabinoids may offer a potential curative effect for them. I think as the education process gets better and more people are aware of this and more people are going to their societies like the American Cancer Society and forcing those larger agencies to take a serious look at this issue, that when those groups do get involved and start also demanding this research take place in the United States, I do think at that point you will begin to see a change, just as we have seen taking place in Europe over really only about the last 5 years, where agencies have really gotten on board in funding and supporting this sort of research, looking at cannabis as a potential anti-cancer agent.
Paul Armentano is Normal's senior policy analyst. Thanks again for joining us here today on the Audio Stash, Paul.
No problem, and I would encourage people to check out the July 1st issue of Cancer Research to read the findings for themselves, and also check out the Normal website where we have several papers on this issue, including one in the Marijuana and Health section entitled Cannabinoids as Cancer Hope.
And we have many links to all that info up at normalaudiostash.com. Could be leading the way in cures for cancer if only we would depoliticize and legalize marijuana for both medical use and medical research. Let's wrap things up today with some music from Podshow.com. Here's some hip-hop from Podshow.com, Cumulus, with It's Been a Long Time Coming.
It's been a long time coming.
Long time coming along, Micah, running a lot of people. Hate me, but even more love me. It counteracts it, push pressure and spring back like a mattress. Bounce like a check and check the facts, and we read the script, react. Did you expect me to get mad? And you are respecting a wrong reaction, but don't get mad, relax. Take a breather, this is real hip hop. So just tap your feet to the beat, recite the rhymes until you find the meaning. You can reach the stars if you can find to a ceiling. Your mind is an open book, and guess who is reading? I would let you in on the secret, but you'll probably miss the meaning. And the memo, it's the warning signs. You can say I'm impatient, but I'm just slowing down time accumulation, and I'm just soaking up the shine. You can't compete with me until you find a better rhyme. A long time coming, a long time has passed. Stretching 15 minutes, we gon' make the thing last.
It's been a long time coming.
It's been a long time coming, a long time to pass. Eyes to the future, don't look at the past, yo.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. It's been a long time, from the dirt to the gold mine. Game time, oh my, ready for the showtime. I remember when I used to be the weakest rapper. Flow wasn't working, I thought I had a broke rhyme. So I took me a pen and a pad, put two and two together, and look what I had. Some of the illest lyrics you could put up in a rap. Be the sick on this Cammy and Cumulus collab. People used to hate on me bad, and now that my pants sagging, they all wanna hop on the bandwagon. You dudes slow dragging, y'all can't catch up. Even after your boy came out slower than ketchup. And now that I'm here, I ain't leaving. I ain't even gonna lie, I'm a little conceited. Taking over the game, everybody believe it. So sit back, listen, and let me teach it. It's been a long time
coming, a long time has passed. Especially 15 minutes, we gon' make the thing last.
It's been a long time coming, a long time to pass. Eyes to the future, don't look at the past, yo.
It's been a long time.
This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. To Paul Armentano and Rudy Reyes for contributing to today's show. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.